in May of 2010, the first weekend of May, actually, we had, of course, a historic flood in Nashville. We had 17 inches of rain in about 48 hours. There was no place for all of that water to go, so our rivers and tributaries, of course, were full. But more importantly, the water table in downtown Nashville rose literally into the streets. And at the Skrimmelhorn Symphony Center, we had $40 million in flood damage to our building. And of course, we weren't alone. There were some billions of dollars worth of damage to downtown Nashville. But in our case, we had 24 feet of water in our basement. And because Nashville's not near, a particularly flood-prone area, generally, the buildings weren't built to withstand that kind of water. And we had a lot of the infrastructure of our building in the basement, including 11 air handlers, the electrical vault, a number of musical instruments, and even, believe it or not, the transformer for the generator. It's for the worst place it could have been.
As you assessed the damage, were there other things that started appearing, you know, in the days and weeks after that people might not think of when they think flood damage?
Yes, that's actually true. I mean, I think when you think about flood damage, you know, your first thought is, well, if we just get the water out, you know, everything will be fine. But in fact, water does an incredible amount of damage to everything that it touches when it inundates buildings. And of course, we all know what the power of water does to cut cliffs and all kinds of things when it's just flowing naturally in a river. So when you get into the kind of flood damage we had, we had cracked slabs at the foundation that had to be, you know, jackhammered out and replaced. The water was contaminated with all kinds of things, so it was really kind of a hazmat condition in our basement. But we were fortunate the water didn't make it into the concert hall, but we had to seal off the concert hall and create essentially negative energy in the building. So we were sucking air from the levels above the basement into the basement and out the back of the building, you know, and so as the water receded, we created that kind of negative energy in the rest of the building so that mold spores would find their way into the rest of the building and begin to do even more damage to the upper floors of the building. So there are a lot of issues. I mean, from mold to, you know, structural concerns, you know, we had to check the structural integrity of the building. We had, of course, in the case of our electrical vault, all of the big cables that come into the electrical vault where the switch gear is that provides the power distribution to the building, all of those cables had gotten water down into the insulation. And when you have water in a copper wire like that, you run the risk that it's going to corrode the wire. And if the wire gets corroded and becomes less conductive of electricity, it could become a giant resistor, essentially, that heats up like an iron when you plug an iron in. That's what an iron is. And if that were to happen, you know, then you have fire risk in the future, you know. So all of that stuff had to be sorted out. We had to replace, of course, a lot of wiring. We also were lucky that we were able to treat some of those larger cables and basically vacuum the water out and then treat them with anti-corrosive material that was forced down into the cable insulation. So there are a lot of things to think about. And water does a lot more damage than you think. And one of the things I remember, I really feel for everybody in Houston, because one of the things I remember is that sort of like as each day went by, more was sort of revealed. And, you know, we really didn't realize that it was going to be 8 months before we could get back in the building. And in fact, I think 8 months was about the shortest possible span of time that we could have put that building back together in. And remarkable that we did it. And of course, Houston is no stranger to flooding. I went to college at the University of Houston, so I'm familiar with Houston. And I think that there the buildings are maybe built with the idea that, you know, there's going to be water problems eventually. And so maybe some of those things are thought through better. But I know that Hurricane Allison did a considerable amount of damage to Jones Hall in Houston and destroyed the Houston Symphony's library. But I think after Hurricane Allison, they probably learned a few lessons, as did we in Nashville. and made some changes as they were putting things back together that would help mitigate future hazard. And from the bits and pieces I'm hearing, I think Jones Hall seemed to have fared better than some of the other venues downtown in the Arts District. And I know the Worthen is had a lot of damage and has a lot of water. Jones Hall seems to have done better, and I think that's largely because they have some things like marine doors that hold the water back from the parking garage and so on. In our case in Nashville, we certainly did some future hazard mitigation. In fact, about $2.8 million of that $40 million was spent specifically on future hazard mitigation. And it included things like groundwater alarms to tell us if the water table was getting too close to the building so we could act faster. We moved the demarcation room for the communications infrastructure up to a higher floor. We increased the pumping capacity in the basement so that if we experience another flood like that, we have sump wells and a drainage system that allow us to get the water down to the pumps and then pump the water out into the storm sewers with forced head pressure. And we even, when we rebuilt the mentioned cracked slabs, we rebuilt those as structural slabs, which they weren't prior to that. So, you know, we did a number of things to really try to help make sure that if we were to have a similar flood again, that we wouldn't experience that kind of damage. And I suspect a lot of that happened in Houston after Hurricane Allison.
What are some other pieces of advice that you'd offer them as they move ahead in the next few weeks and on the road to recovery?
I know it's going to be hard, but, you know, one of the things that we did in Nashville with our concert hall flooded, even 5 days after the flood, we mounted a free concert for the community. We quickly rescheduled all of our events into other venues. We only lost one weekend of concerts, and it was the weekend immediately after the flood. And those were to be Pops concerts with Christopher Cross. When we learned that there was no venue available to put those concerts in, we actually called Christopher Cross and asked him to come and donate his fee or basically do this as a freebie with the understanding we'd rebook him. And then we convinced the city to let us put a concert on the steps of the courthouse, a free concert for the community. And so on the Friday night after the floodwaters crested on Monday, we mounted a free concert for the community. And it was cathartic for the orchestra and the staff to be together doing what we do. And it was cathartic for the community because the community was so stressed out after all of this week of, you know, trying to figure out what they had to do and to begin the cleanup, that we had thousands of people come out to this concert sort of just needing a break from all of it. And it was really a great moment because here we were with our concert hall still full of water, doing exactly what we were supposed to do in the community. And so when you ask about advice, and by the way, that was the turning point in the press coverage of our flood in Nashville, from look how awful it is to, you know what, we're going to be okay. Because the next morning, on Saturday morning, the headline of the Tennessean read, "Music, Muscle, and Money, Nashville Opens Its Heart." And the picture below that was a full-page picture of Giancarlo Guerrero, our music director, conducting the orchestra in front of that crowd.
Wow.
And so it was really a pretty powerful moment. And so in terms of advice, you know, what I would say to any of the arts groups down there, not that they need it, our advice, but is don't lose sight of what you're there to do and make sure somehow, you know, you can serve the community, even if you have to rethink and reimagine how you do that for the next several months while your homes are being put back together, because it certainly made all the difference for us. And I think we wouldn't have survived had we sort of done the easy thing and said, we're going to suspend operations or cancel our concerts.